Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Unchurched Live. It is an old holds barred spiritual conversation for the seeker, for the skeptic, and just a little soul food for the Christ follower. I am here with my phenomenally witty and intelligent and spiritual co-host, Dr. Stephen E. Gardner. I'm your co-host. Finesse, you know who I am, and we're here simulcasting on Blog Talk Radio and Be Live TV. Let me just say, if anybody wants to call into the show to speak to us regarding tonight's topic, which is facing your fears, I'm going to just delineate that in just a few moments. Please call in 657-383-0106, 657-383-0106. Everybody, tonight's topic is facing your F-E-A-R-S, your fears. And fear stands for tonight, false evidence appearing real. Dr. Gardner, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good, man. It's been one of those days, man, where you that the only characteristic that keeps you moving forward is the one called persistence.
I like that.
And that's a characteristic that is true of those who don't give up. And, sometimes you get it right, sometimes you don't get it right. But, even when you don't get it right, you still have to get back up and keep moving forward. That's how we get to the finish line. That's how we get to the end. We don't get there by sulking. We don't get there by making excuses. We get there by, okay, let's get it on. Let's move forward, you know. So I think that's the lesson of life today that we can grasp with.
Doctor, while I'm sharing the show here, I've heard it said that persistence overcomes resistance. You see? And sometimes we've got to persist past our fears. And sometimes other times we've got to persist past physical challenges. And then there are times we've just got to persist, period. So, Doctor, you know I've been praying for you. I'm glad that you are continuing to persist. And as always, we thank God for you, man. So facing your fears, I had to go online and think. I remember back in the day, I'm 53 years old, everybody. I hope I don't look it. I don't always feel it. But I say that as context. And Dr. Gardner is much younger than me. So I know Dr. Gardner doesn't remember this. But when I was in college, you had to go to the library and do your, when you had a research paper, you had to bring home 10 and 15 books. Garland J. Sloan, thank you, brother. Thanks for sharing the video. But nowadays, all you need to do is go online and Wikipedia. Wikipedia is just a wonderful resource. So I went online today and I looked up a definition for fear, and it's very, very simple. Very short, but also, Doctor, speaks to exactly what we're going to talk about tonight when we deal with facing your fears. What is fear? Fear is an unpleasant feeling triggered by the perception of danger, real or imagined. I like that. An unpleasant feeling. So fear is feeling-based.
It's feeling-based.
Yes, sir. And it is triggered by the perception of danger, real or imagined. Go ahead, Doctor.
I heard someone put it like this. This is a religious sage. I can't think of which minister it was, but they said that feelings are deceiving.
True.
But the word of God is the only thing that's worth believing.
Say that again, Doctor.
Feelings are deceiving, but the word of God is the only thing that's worth believing. And I guess the idea is that, the question would be, and here I'm talking to, are you feeling oriented? Is your walk of faith feeling oriented? is your approach to life feeling oriented?
Doc, you know, listen, this is what you're doing. You open up the can of worms, Doc. Now every week, I count that as my purview to open up the can of worms. But now you opening up the can, Doc. You're opening up the can. Now listen, this is what I've learned. And Doctor, before my calling regarding divinity, I was an engineering major. And I'm just now at 53 getting good at math. And that's yeah, seriously, that's another conversation. My son, thank God, he's a whiz at math, doesn't even study and gets A's. Me, never was the case. So even though I didn't do well in math, I always kept the logical, rational, analytical part of me. And, Doctor, I'm 53. It wasn't until I was about 50 that I finally had to acknowledge that people are not rational. They're emotional. You understand me? Our DNA, our wiring is emotional. And more often than not, we justify our emotional decisions with logic.
Well, see, that's the psychology that's associated with selling.
Exactly.
And, you know, when I was in sales back in the 90s, I was doing some, you know, sales work. And the sales manager told us in training, it is to sell the sizzle, but not the steak.
Exactly.
And then you take that idea, and I don't know, I have to look up the theory that's behind it. There's a theory behind it because they use it also in the news media. They prey upon sensationalism because that's what stirs up the emotions of people. You know, the left gets stirred up, right gets stirred up, or, you know, people get stirred up. Their emotions get stirred up because they're hearing something that triggers a perception of either danger that's real or imagined, in your own words.
I agree. And so fear is a feeling.
It's a feeling.
We need to establish that, everybody who's listening and watching. Fear is a feeling that is based upon a perception. And so a perception is a point of view that may or may not be accurate.
Ah, and that brings in something else, Doc.
Yes, sir.
Were you finished?
I'm done. Go ahead, Doc.
Okay. That our conditioning, whatever that conditioning has been, has structured our capacity to fear.
Our family of origin. Doctor, and I'm gonna be general about this because it kind of reveals my mom's instructing of us. And I've made a commitment to public life. She is not. In our family of origin, there's some things that I was taught to fear. I'm just going to keep it real. And it wasn't until Christ in my life, me reading the scriptures, and me growing and reevaluating my family of origin upbringing that I could emancipate myself from some of the things that I was taught to fear.
My dear friend and mentor, Dr. Thomas L. Brown, he says people love to fear and they fear to love.
Mm.
He said people love to fear and they fear to love. Fear has an economic price tag or commodity to it. It sells.
True that.
So here you have fear mongering that's going on in the religious community, fear mongering that's going on in the political sphere. And so all of those mongering aspects towards fear are preying upon our previous conditioning. So in other words, it resonates with us. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, that. And so we get on this conspiracy theory, or we just become afraid because in our upbringing we may have been taught that to fear certain things or certain people. Come on, talk to me.
I agree. And so fear is that feeling triggered by the perception of danger or of any other thing, real or imagined. And oftentimes, doctor, part of the point we want to make tonight, and we're grateful for those who are logging on right now, part of what we want to talk about is fear as false evidence appearing real. So it's really an inaccurate feeling based upon an analyzing of reality. We've got to reality test what we fear. We got to do that to know that is it legitimate or not. I mean, listen, if I stand on top of a four-story building and look over, think about jumping, well, I understand the law of gravity. What goes up must come down. And what jumps off will go down even more quickly because then we have acceleration. You know, force equals mass times acceleration. So I know if I jump off a four-story building I can't fly, and the rapture does not happen simultaneously, I'm going to hit the ground. So that's a legitimate fear. Doctor, you alluded to something that I'd like you to speak to. Some of us fear being loved.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we fear being loved. And, you know, and some of that fear of being loved, you know, let's look at it from this standpoint, has come from failure. You know, as Garland said, fear can also come from experience. And so fear of being loved could come from the experience of failed relationship. So I'm afraid to get involved again. I'm afraid to commit again, you know, or I'm going to throw everybody that reminds me of my ex under the bus because I'm not getting involved.
And
whatever the case it might be.
Right. And sometimes as men, in particular as men of color, when we find that one and we burn the black book, you understand? We embrace monogamy. We decide, all right, Lord, I'm going to quote unquote settle down. And then we're hurt or burned. Sometimes we abandon monogamy altogether out of fear of being hurt again. And we don't really talk about that as men. But women tend to talk about it. You know, all men are dogs and this and that. But Doc, we don't talk about that as men. We don't talk about the fact, you know, I've turned down Wanda, Betty, Sandra, and Elaine for Laquita, and Laquita broke my heart. So I tried it one time, but I'm done now, right?
So, yeah, fear.
Fear.
So, you know, it's like, okay, you know, why won't I? Oh, then let's not even talk about church.
Oh, forget about it.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm not ever going back to church because those church people hurt me.
Right. Those.
And so therefore, I'm not getting involved for fear of getting hurt again. Go ahead.
No, Doc, I agree with you 100%. And so for everybody who's been hurt by the church, I pray for you. I've been hurt by the church, but now watch. I realize the church is but a human institution. I was hurt by the church, but I wasn't hurt by Christ.
I don't think Christ ever hurt.
Hey, and Doc, listen, and viewing audience, listening audience, that was one church. And now let's keep it 100. I joined the church 2 years ago. Who knew me? And when I joined the church, because I felt like it's what the Lord wanted me to do to reckon in an attempt to reconcile with the pastor.
Right, right, right.
I went into the new members orientation in the back room, and the deacon totally disrespected me. Just totally disrespected me. Now, doctor, listening audience, viewing audience, I had to decide, am I going to let this ignorance deter me from what I felt moved that God was saying to me to do, or was I going to push past it and still do what God said do? And I hopefully I was the bigger person. I said, this man is not going to keep me from what God told me to do. See what I'm trying to say? And I'm not, doctor, you know this, I'm not trying to give myself credit. I'm just saying, I felt disrespected. And as men of color, number one on our list, because of the context in which we live in this society, is respect. But I'm like, And listen, I'm going to get real old school church. Devil, you're not going to have a victory through this You understand? You're not going to have it. I know what God told me to do. And this is just the devil attempting to thwart what God has told me to do.
You know, and see, you know, we have to quit making excuses to remain afraid. Really, it's our fear masking itself.
Well said.
We use this excuse to mask our fear. I really don't want to get involved. I really don't, you know, and so, and that's a whole other conversation, but we have to really unmask our fear. What are we really afraid of?
What are we really afraid of? I agree. So we're getting a little ahead, but I think it's good that we pause here to talk. No, to deal with this, because so a man who doesn't commit, assuming that that's what he really wants to do, what is the basis of the fear? We've got to do some self-introspection. A woman who stays in a dysfunctional and unsatisfying relationship for 15 years. And I know women who've been in dissatisfying relationships for 15 years. What's the basis of the why? There's a fear there. I talked to a woman who was in a loveless marriage. She was married for 20 years and in a loveless marriage for 5 years. And I said, well, why are you still in this? And you know what she said to me? She says, I'm afraid of being alone.
We have to unmask our fear.
Yes, sir.
Please
elaborate. I want to put that in the chat. We need to unmask our fears.
We need to unmask our fear. She told the truth. And it may not necessarily have been the truth we wanted to hear from her, but her honesty was a reality that says, I'm limited from moving past this point because I'm held hostage by the fear of being alone. And so, and we have to, all of us, you know, and I know we can get into the clinical side. You know, there's some people that have phobias. That's another word for fear. It's a Greek word for fear, phobia. We have certain phobias that may be more clinically based and may require more professional attention, be it, you know, some form of a therapeutic, you know, a drug or some form of either some other type of a therapy of counseling. You know, and I'm not really leaning towards that, but that's something that we probably need to talk about is, you know, clinically based phobia or clinically based fear, because you can't cast that one out.
And
I'll leave that alone.
I agree, Doctor. I agree 100%. And I would say this, that if anyone who is watching or listening finds that with, how can I put it, regular human effort, that you cannot overcome your fears, then I think it's an issue, as doctors alluding to, that it may be clinically based and you may need therapy. You may need to see a psychiatrist. What we want to focus on tonight, and doctor, I appreciate you raising that, because that is part of the spectrum of fear. Are those fears that we as human beings can manage with the help of our Creator?
So that would be common-based fear.
Well said. Common-based fear. And fear yet, as doctors, you've alluded to, can have an emotional and mental component. It also can have a physical component, and it can have a spiritual component. Some people are afraid of God.
Wow.
Afraid of being intimate with God. And I have to quote Bishop T.D. Jakes in this, because it wasn't something that I thought of prior to him saying it. Some of us are afraid, and I mean this figuratively speaking, we're afraid to come to God naked and unashamed. That, Doc, is that real? Naked and unashamed.
Naked and unashamed. I mean, you know, that's real. I mean, because, you know, if we can't come before God stripped, then, you know, we're not being honest. I mean, Adam and Eve, you know, were probably the first, you know, people we can read in the Bible that had to approach God naked and ashamed.
Wow.
And they didn't come clean.
Wow.
You know, Adam blamed the woman. See, you start blaming people when you know you're the, you know, oh, I'm afraid God's going to find out. But then when he does find out, well, this woman became. So now, you know, fear then begins to start blaming other people for the problem in the first place. You know, and so, so they're naked. They were naked and ashamed. And so the idea that's alluded there is that we have to learn how to be stripped before God, how to be honest before God, even with what we are afraid of.
See, the only way to overcome our fears is to face our fears. Period. And that takes a certain amount of spiritual strength. And we're going to deal with word tonight, because for me, Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. What I see in the scriptures at this stage of my faith development is that they really depict spiritual principles. The words are really pointing to something much deeper, and they're spiritual principles that by which God intended that we should live our lives. So, for example, perfect love, I think Jesus said this in the Gospels, perfect love casts out fear. Or it's in the epistles, I forget. Perfect love, so God's perfect love of us casts out fear. In other words, when we really believe that God loves us, there's really nothing to fear that should not be feared.
Or,
yes, sir.
Add to that. Is perfect love casts out fear, then we're invited to the kind of relationship that absolves our fear. And so in order for me to absolve my fear of God, in order for me to overcome my fear of things, whatever it might be, I need to become absorbed. I need to become absorbed with the God that is referenced to as love. God is love, and his perfect love casts out fear. So that means the closer I get to God, the farther I get from fear.
I agree. God does not give us the spirit of fear, this is in the New Testament, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God, and spirit here is not a ghost, it's the attitude. God does not give the attitude of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So anything connected to God is powerful, loving, and has a sound mind.
So the deeper I delve into my relationship with God, the more sound in my mind, and all the other two things you mentioned there.
I agree. Power, love, and a sound mind. And again, we're talking about, and Doctor, thank you for framing it. We're talking about the spectrum of common fears. Doctor, isn't that what you said?
Common fears.
And interestingly enough, how about this now? Now, Doc, we're walking into deep water tonight. See, the closer I get to God, the more I may be aware of the fact that what I think is a common fear is really a clinically based fear.
Wow. And then that's I need to get some help.
Yes, sir. Let's deal with this now, because our entire audience is not made up of people of color. There is a significant part of it. In our community, getting therapy has a stigma attached to it.
Yeah. And people don't want to get the perception that you're crazy.
Exactly.
You don't talk to somebody.
And see, the converse is true. We get therapy so that we don't become crazy.
See, the reason why I don't want to go get therapy because I'm afraid that people might think I'm crazy. Fair.
Fear is false evidence appearing real. And much of our fears is based in our, I have to say this, in our family of origin. And our upbringing. And this is the analogy, Doctor, that I use about therapy. I will go to a lawyer for my legal help. I will go to a financial advisor for my financial help. I will go to an accountant for again, part of my financial help. I will go to a doctor for my physical health. Why wouldn't I go to a psychologist for my mental health?
Well,
it's only consistent. It is that professional who's been trained to enhance the mental health of a human being, just like a doctor is trained to enhance the physical health, lawyer, legal health, accountant, or financial advisor, financial health. It's only consistent if I'm a total being that's body, soul, spirit, that if I have a mental health issue, I will seek the skills of a mental health professional.
Exactly. I do not want, you know, if you got a problem with your car, you know, you come on now, and you know, you want a mechanic, man. You want someone PSI certified. You want a mechanic, man. You don't want somebody, you know, that works at Taco Bell. And I'm not knocking anybody that works at Taco Bell, because we all have done those things, and those things are valuable. But you want a person with expertise to work with certain manifestations so you can help better yourself. Here's the thing, you know, and it still is about fear. The reason why I think a lot of religious people do not seek professional guidance is because their religious teachers have created a fear of going outside the church or the Bible for answers.
Because for them, it's a tool of control. Doc, let me just say, Leslie C., my cousin, thank you for sharing the video. Doc, let me give you a very, very brief example about the power of the mechanic as a professional. So,
okay.
2 weeks ago, woke up, got dressed, went into my car. My car wouldn't start. I was going to Philadelphia, to PA for a sales training. I was 2 hours late, did get there, communicated with my supervisor. One of the gentlemen in my complex jumped my car, took it over to my mechanic. I said, Oscar, is my battery dying? So Mike popped the hood. He took a machine, put the two wires on the battery, and immediately it did two things. He said, Mike, your alternator is fine. Because an alternator in the Honda is about $500 with labor.
Yeah.
My blood pressure dropped 30 points. And he said, your battery's charging. And doctor, in listening audience, viewing audience, it took 10 seconds.
10 seconds.
Because he knew the right tool to use to diagnose or test the issue.
Wow.
Likewise, a mental health professional knows the tools to employ to assess and, if necessary, help us to improve our mental health. But out of fear, and we know what the topic is tonight, facing your fears, out of fear, thank you, Leslie C. You understand, Doc, and I'm watching this, and it was a revelatory moment, because I kind of knew what the deal could have been. I said it's either the battery or the alternator. But he made it very precise and said, Mike, your alternator's fine. It's your battery. And I said, all right, Oscar, can I get to PA today? He said, no problem, Mike, but you're going to have to get a battery. You understand? He knew exactly what tool to use. He knew it. And in seconds, he had diagnosed.
Right.
And I went to him because I knew he would, right? So, Doc, I just want to say this quickly. I went to him because I knew he could diagnose it. So if I'm having a mental health issue, that if I prayed and I talked to Dr. Gardner and I've gone to my pastor and I've gone to the deacons and I've read the word, well, then I have to go somewhere else. I don't want to preach tonight, Doc. You're getting me started. You understand me? I got to go somewhere else to the professional who knows what needs to be done.
See, it's the process, you know, And this is a biblical principle.
Yes,
we have to begin to expand our thinking in applying biblical principles to get beyond our fear. I'm going to say it again. We have to expand our thinking, you know, to get beyond our fear. And one of the things that we can look at is a story about this woman that had an issue of blood in the Bible. And we celebrate this woman for having faith. But what we need to celebrate was her persistence. And that is, she never, ever gave up upon getting free from what had her. And see, people have to get to the point, I'm never, ever going to give up on getting free from my fear. This woman exhausted all that she had. She spent all she had. She didn't get any better. The Bible says she got worse.
Worse.
Yet, she kept applying another principle. She kept seeking out another doctor. She kept going to another specialist. She kept going to another therapist. She kept going to another herbalist. She went to every, she began to exhaust everything within her purview to get free from what held her. Come on, talk to me. And so what happened was, she heard of something else. She heard of Jesus. So in other words, what she was hearing now was a spiritual resolution, a spiritual answer for what held her hostage. Hmm. And so she said, if I can just touch
the hem
of his garment, look, I'm already going to be made whole. She probably rolled her neck and everything. I'm going to be made whole. And this woman.
Go ahead, Doc. Go ahead. I'm laughing at you, Doc. I'm being blessed by what you're saying. Go ahead, man.
This woman said, where is he at? And so she went down there and she, you know, you're going to touch the hem of somebody's garment. You got to get down.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes, in order for you to get up, you got to get down. And sometimes, in order for you to get free, you got to acknowledge the fact that I'm bound. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck.
See,
and so,
I agree.
She gets down.
She had to get down.
She touched his garment. Watch it. I'm going to bring this in and I'm going to give it back to you. The moment she touched the hem of his garment, she felt in her body that she was healed.
See,
and,
no, finish up, Doc. No, finish up. I'm sorry, sir.
And Jesus wondered who touched him. And when he looked around, he saw the woman trembling. And she told him all the truth. And Jesus commended the woman and said, daughter, your faith made you whole. And my point is, yes, her faith in Jesus made her whole. But we got to give the woman credit. She never gave up. You just can't give up. A lot of times people have faith, but they give up. So they become unbelievers or doubtful. You can't give up.
Doc, I'm going to take a quick station break. We're grateful for those who've logged on, for those who've commented. Benjamin Merrick, Garland J. Sloan, Janice Carter, thank you. Leslie C., my cousin, thank you. You're listening and we're watching Unchurch Live, listening to and watching Unchurch Live, a no-holds-barred spiritual conversation for the seeker, the skeptic, and just a little soul food for the Christ follower. Tonight's topic is facing your fears, and we define fear as an unpleasant feeling triggered by the perception of danger, real or imagined. I am here with my co-host, Dr. Stephen E. Gardner. I am your co-host, Finesse. And though this wasn't an intentional part of our planning, we've waded into the water of this whole balance between mental health, addressing a fear, and human and divine effort. And really, it's not an either or, it's a both and. You see, and I think, Doctor, one of the things that you alluded to is that in the community of faith, it's almost like a tool of control. Some pastors want to be the be-all and end-all of the member. And I think that's very, very dangerous because no human being can be anybody's be-all and end-all.
That's
And I've heard people say, you don't need a psychologist. You don't need a psychiatrist. You don't need a mental health professional. You just need Jesus, you know, and that the whole church goes up. And I would say, yes, at the same time, a comprehensive approach to my faith encompasses the psycho-emotional.
Well, you know, it's like this, man. If you get a cut on your hand, and your cut on your hand, your physical cut becomes infected, you can pray over it all day long. You need to get some kind of antibiotic. You're gonna get some Jericho. You're gonna get some methylate. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna put some antibiotic cream. You're gonna address that wound. You know what I'm saying? And I think that, you know, and to be a well-rounded person, even as a believer, to be a well-rounded Christian, you have to respect the various dimensions that are associated with the human being. We have to respect the body, the soul, and the spirit. So if you get a cut on your hand, are you going to go to the Bible and get a scripture and take that scripture and apply it to that cut? No, you're going to get something physical to deal with it. I think the problem is that there has been a brewing fear in certain aspects of the faith community that really is afraid of the medical professionals.
I agree.
And that everything is the answer to healing, all healing, it must come from the Holy Ghost. And God can use anyone, anybody. He can either do it divinely, or he can do it through a human vessel, or through the skill set of a physician to bring about your healing. Now, we talked about this before, and I alluded toward it. There's a story I shared with a man in a boat. He was in a boat. The boat was going down. The boat was sinking. The man had faith. He was very religious. He was very religious, very scriptural. He knew the word of God. And everybody that tried to come and help to save him, he always would tell him, oh, God's going to save me. You know, God's going to save me. Coast Guard came. Helicopter came. Prayer came. God's going to save me. The man drowned. When he got before God, he asked God, I thought you were going to save me.
That's right.
And God said, well, I sent the Coast Guard.
Exactly.
And the whole list of people that God had already employed or moved by his spirit to help you. Yet you just counted them because why? They were a physical person. And it did not come directly from God as you've been taught to believe.
Agreed.
Look, we got to take the limits of how we perceive God to really overcome our fear of those things that we don't accept or understand right away.
So if we look at, and I agree with you, Doctor, if we look at the Old Testament, during the 40 years that Israel was in the wilderness, God used a miraculous means to provide for the nourishment, the physical nourishment of the people of Israel, manna from heaven.
Manna from heaven.
Right? Right. So, but there was a purpose in that to teach the people to trust God daily. But when they entered the promised land, there was a whole community that was to be established, the economic system, an agricultural system, a barter system, spiritual system, et cetera, so that they didn't need miracles anymore because they were in the land that God promised, and there was a community, a nation to be set up where by natural means, under the guidance of God, everybody's needs would be met. I think that's an accurate reading of that transition, right?
That's good.
Thank you,
because
sir.
The moment they ate the grapes, the manna ceased. You know, it's like, okay, this was just to get you through.
Exactly.
Sometimes God does give us a band-aid. Sometimes God does give us a crumb before he gives us a meal. He gives us an appetizer before he gets the entree. And so the manna in the desert was simply the appetizer.
That's all it was.
But the moment that they taste the grapes, that's when, okay, you don't need that anymore. You're at the place where I want you to be. So, you know, we have to transition sometimes. We can't be so fearful of moving forward for having been so comfortable by what we've had.
So, Jehovah Jireh in the Hebrew, the Lord who provides. Who am I to decide for God how God provides for me? Doctor, is it any less powerful for God to bless me with the job than for me to go to my mailbox and I have a check that comes that I didn't anticipate?
Wow.
Either way, assuming the check is not coming from somebody's account by mistake, both can be seen as provision. If God is provider, then God can provide for me however God wants to. I just need to be the object of the provision. That's all right. And I think that's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying, is that we can't be afraid to widen our awareness or our intellectual capacity regarding the providence of God. We can't let our previous fears and limitations that have been imposed upon us by others, whether it be a religious system or some other experience, to keep us held hostage and trapped between going the next level with God or doing things that you didn't think you could do, you know? Some people just naturally don't have any fears, like Evel Knievel and other people like that, man. They would just do things. They would do dumb stuff that I would never think of doing, and may break some few bones after that, but they would do it because they were not afraid. You know, I served in the military with guys that just love jumping out of airplanes. You know what I'm saying? A perfectly fine airplane, but they love doing it. There are just certain things that people naturally are not afraid of. But at the same time, in order for us to be able to move past our fears, guess what? Finesse.
Yes, sir.
We've got to acknowledge we got one.
See, fear is false evidence appearing real. That's the acronym we're working with tonight. So if we're going to face our fears, we've got to acknowledge what our fears are, and then we've got to analyze in beyond a legitimate fear. And common sense kind of tells us what a legitimate fear is. If I'm not going to walk across the street doing a green light.
You're going to see stars.
Yes, sir. Immediate transition from heaven, from earth to heaven, right? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to jump out of a plane with a parachute. I'm not going to spend more than I make. See what I'm saying?
I'm not going to walk down that alley that my mama told me not to walk down.
Exactly.
And it's dark. Legitimate
fears. You see? However, when there are other kinds of fears, I think we've got to analyze. We've got to analyze. Is this a reality-based fear? So let's say a man, because so often we talk about women who say they don't want to be alone, but there are men who don't want to be alone. You understand? I fear being alone. Well, what's the basis of the fear? Most of us are around people every day, right? So how do I fear being alone? And even if I fear not having romantic attachment, there's so many ways to meet people to begin to set the stage for romantic attachment. So what's the basis of that fear, right, Doc? It's not a rational fear. False evidence appearing real.
It's false.
False evidence.
It's false evidence. In other words, that it is, you know, what's the word they use? It's an alternative fact.
Right. Isn't that crazy?
It's an alternative fact.
It's an alternative fact, right. False evidence. Yes. And oftentimes I think, Doc, in relationships, you know, I'll never find anybody again. It's like that woman who was married for 20 years and in a self-defined loveless marriage for 5 years. She says, I fear being alone. And below that was a fear. And I think she said to me one day, I fear that I'll never find anyone again. Now watch this, Dot. She had men when she would travel for her job who would approach her all the time. So I'm like, wait a minute. You fear, you got men hitting on you, but yet you fear being alone, and you fear that you won't find anybody. But there are other bodies right there. Now, I'm not saying she should have chosen them, because even though she was in a loveless marriage, she was still married. So I'm not advocating infidelity, but it's the thinking, Doctor.
Well, I think what she was saying, and not just out of romanticism, but it's other aspect. What she was saying is what she felt when she was rejected. She feared feeling that again. So therefore, I'm gonna play it safe here. Fear being rejected. I'm gonna play it safe here because I don't want to feel being rejected. The pain of rejection. You know, like, you know, you're afraid to what? Touch the hot stove once you touch it, right? I'm afraid to get near that stove.
See, because agreed. No, go ahead, Doc.
No, I'm just saying that sometimes in unmasking our fear, we find out that it's been triggered, or it's been triggered by something else. And that is, I don't want to feel the pain of loss or the pain of rejection. So sometimes we wind up settling just to compensate for, or to not just to appease our fear. We settle.
And I think part of the spiritual life, whether or not we want to agree with it, is that we've got to be willing to be stretched beyond our comfort zone. The life, I have to say it, I've lived it, and it hasn't been always pleasant. Life in Christ is always about being stretched beyond our comfort zone, period. Bless those that curse you and pray for them that despitefully use you. If that doesn't stretch you beyond your comfort zone, nothing will.
Well, it's that turn the other cheek.
Turn the other cheek.
I heard someone that day. Someone urbanized that, and they said they'll turn the other cheek with this.
Ah.
You know, but the fact of the matter is, Jesus offered a different approach for certain things that normally would push the envelope. He just says, okay, turn the other cheek.
Well said.
You know.
Well said. No, Doc, go ahead. I agree with you 100%. I think, Doctor, one of the benefits of our show, just in general, is that we really deal with things that people don't necessarily want to embrace. The fact is, just what the scripture that says in the New Testament, Paul, I believe, we walk by faith and not by sight. Wait a minute. I have been on a 5-year journey that has been the most difficult journey of my faith life, or my Christian life, of learning to walk by faith. I'm telling you, because I'm not wired that way. I'm wired to analyze. I'm wired to assess. I'm wired to operate from a fact-based standpoint. And faith it runs counter to that. Faith says that I'm going to trust someone I don't see, and not what I do see.
Wow.
Kidding.
Wow.
It ain't been easy, y'all.
It ain't been easy. Let's deal with the point, and sometimes the conflict between what we don't see and what we do see, you know, is a distortion. Those things begin to kind of distort my reality because I'm dealing with a conflict. I think the Apostle Paul said, the things that I would do, I do not. The things I would, I wind up doing. And his internal conflict was not able to reconcile that. So therefore, he began to look at things, to see things through a glass darkly. There's a distorted image because we're wrestling. And sometimes we have to recognize what's causing my distortion, And some say it's what you feed the most. Do you feed your fear or do you feed your faith? What's causing my distortion?
Yes.
I suggest I mean, I just throw something out there.
Yeah, and Doug, I'm managing the chat and I'm listening to you. What is causing the distortion? And why am I really fearing what I'm fearing?
Yeah.
I mean, how about this? So I got to tell another story, and it won't be long. The one thing as a man that I feared, and I'm not saying that women don't fear it, please, ladies, don't think I'm being chauvinistic. I am not. But I'm a man, and I only can look at things from a man's perspective. The one thing, doctor, I feared was being fired. Feared it. How am I going to live? I'm telling you. And guess what happened to me on February 2nd of 2018? Now, some of what I thought would happen happened. Okay? I'm being honest, right? However, God provided. Hear what I'm saying? Exactly. And you know what? I'm keeping it real. Some things I'm still catching up on. However, I really feared, I guess looking back, doctor, I feared that it would cost me my life. That's irrational, but
it's like, oh wow, it damaged
exactly. It damaged my life, but it didn't cost me my life.
It didn't cost you.
So whatever. Remember, Job, the very thing I feared has come upon me.
Yeah, Job said that. Job did say that. The thing I feared the most has come upon me. You know, and here was a person. Watch this. If we look at Job, he was a model believer.
Yes, he was.
A model Christ follower. Feared God. That means he revered him, he reverenced him, he worshipped him. He feared. He eschewed evil. He did not. He despised evil.
Despised
he shunned it. You know, this man was in intercessory prayer every day for his family, just in case his kids might do something wrong. And at the same time, while he was managing all of this, the Bible informs us he was the richest man in Egypt. He was wealthy. Yet, he said, when he got tested and he lost everything that he had, and his wife lost her mind and told him to curse God's God, he said, the thing I feared the most.
Yeah, man.
The thing I feared the most. Now, watch this. This man was an upright person, but he still had fear.
Still had fear.
And he categorized the thing that he feared the most has come upon him. Now, what's my point? I'm saying that we all have to unearth what we are afraid of. Because in order for us to get free, to move forward, to get past this invisible barrier, to get beyond those distortions, we have to ask ourselves the question, whether privately or publicly or before God, what am I afraid of? And the moment that you acknowledge that you are afraid of something, that's the moment that you start becoming, that's the moment you start getting free of the very thing that you thought had you.
That's
but you thought your life was gone, it wasn't gone.
Wasn't gone. Hey, doctor, now I don't ever want to go through it again, don't get me wrong, but my life wasn't gone. And the last thing that I want to say that we've been saying in this entire show is the word is our weapon.
Yes, sir.
To fight our fears. And I say that because in my own life, the more I've read the scriptures, they become more than words on the page, more than a guide to living my life. I now, the very words, and I'm trying to say this the best way that I can, the scriptures are a set of spiritual principles that God always meant for us to guide our lives by. Always. And God will make you face your fears. If we take our faith seriously, I'm telling you, God will make us face our fears, and in facing our fears, it will make us uncomfortable, it will be painful, it will be distressing, but it will enable us to go to a whole nother level of living. I'm a witness. But it wasn't easy, Doc. It Unchurched Live family, it's not easy. When you decide that you're going to really unmask your fears, highly unnerving. Depending upon what that fear is, highly unnerving. And I'll never forget, Doctor, the day I was fired, I was eerily calm.
Wow.
Eerily calm.
Eerily calm.
And when my sales manager called me to the main office, she actually was deceptive. She lied to me. First of all, she made me wait 10 minutes to meet with her, and I knew something was up. And then when I walked into the conference room and the HR director was there, I knew it was done. I knew either I was being written up or I was going to be fired, and I was fired. Not having ever been written up prior, not having been warned verbally or otherwise, when the moment came, I was eerily calm. And that I attribute to God's grace.
You know, and that's true, man. You know, that's so true how you put that, man. Because you had a place of peace.
Yes.
Within your heart, in spite of the message, in spite of the report that you were hearing, and it's like you at that moment chose which report you were going to listen to. Whose report will you believe?
I love
it. And rather than accept the report that you were hearing from the outside, you rather submitted to the report that you were sensing on the inside. And that became, my brother, was the eye of the hurricane. Because even though a hurricane goes through, you know, it tears up some stuff. But in the very core, there's peace. And there may have been some things in your life, things didn't get paid, this didn't get to happen, you know, so on and so forth. It might have been some bumps along the road, but you still had that place of peace that you could rely upon and draw from,
agreed,
no matter how the wind blew. The wind can blow hard, but that, guess what? That palm tree comes right back, you know.
Yes, sir.
That clay of this perpendicular to a tenant.
And, Doctor, it forced me, honestly, It forced me to take my walk with God to another level because I knew I couldn't get through it on my own.
Wow.
And I don't remember ever being afraid. Ironically enough, I don't remember ever being afraid. I was concerned. Don't get me wrong. I had to manage my money very well. I had to make sure that I applied for unemployment, and it could be one of the most humiliating processes at all. I made sure that got the money that I needed. I made sure, and God worked, because one of my former colleagues said, Mike, did you have any PTO accrued? I said, yeah. He said, well, you better get that. He said, you better get your PTO. And sure enough, that was the $300, $400 that kind of helped me through. So through it all, God provided. I was never afraid. The very thing I feared when it happened, after it happened, I wasn't afraid. Ironically,
you weren't afraid at all. it exhausted itself. It was, you know, it's new.
At that point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so here us today, facing our fears.
Facing our fears.
A lot of it is false evidence of being real. The truth is, the truth will always make you free. If you want to get free from your fears, admit that you have them.
There it is.
Admit that it's there. You know, Peter said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, you have to be honest before God. If you're afraid of something, just admit that you are, and don't try to spiritualize it and try to rebuke it. It ain't going nowhere. Why do you think that fear keeps coming back? Because you can't rebuke it away. You have to face it. Admit that, well, I struggle, I'm afraid of this. Then you can get help. Then you get free.
I think, as we close up, I think God's going to keep confronting us with our fears until we face them.
Well,
that's what a loving That's what a loving father will do. That's what a loving parent will do. There are things that Mike fears, and I try to gently expose them to him with me being by his side and explaining to him why he shouldn't fear it. Because I know as a parent, Doctor, you're a parent, you know that there's certain development that our children need. And if we let this thing waylay them, if you will, they're not going to go to the next level that they need to go to. See what I'm saying? And I think God operates the same way. I think God, like, and it took 53 years for me to prepare. You understand? But God's like, nah, Mike, if you're going to live your purpose, you're going to have to experience this, get through it, and know that you can get through it. So
yes, sir.
I'm going to allow you to be fired. I'm not saying God willed it. And there's a B part to the story, which I'll tell at another time. But I'm just, as I look back in retrospect, it was like, hey, Mike, now you're going to deal with it. You're going to go through this, son. I'm going to take you through it. It's not going to be comfortable, but you're going to go through it. And when you get through it, you will have grown. And sure enough, I've grown. Lesson learned.
Lesson learned.
Yes, sir. So, Doctor, did you want to say anything in closing? I appreciate what you said. You got to face your fears. Bottom line, how do you face your fears? You got to face your fears.
You got to face your fears. And to face your fears, you got to admit that you got them.
Yes.
You know, don't try to hide it. Don't try to spiritualize it. Don't try to get a scripture to hide behind it. You know, just say, okay, I'm afraid of this. And whether it's rational or not, before God, nothing is ever unacceptable.
I love it. Everybody, what a powerful way to end the show. You have been listening to Unchurched Live and watching Unchurched Live, a no holds barred spiritual conversation for the seeker, the skeptic, and just a little soul food for the Christ follower. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Stephen E. Gardner. I am your co-host, Finesse. And tonight's topic has been Facing Your Fears. We broadcast every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. EST. And, Doc, it's 6 p.m. to not to 7 p.m. In Arizona time.
Right now it's 3 hours difference.
6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Arizona time. And we'll be back next week. And we are thankful for your support, for all those who shared and liked and who tuned in on a regular basis. Thank you so much. So this is what we do, everybody. As we tune, as we close down the show, we do this. One love.
Peace.
Peace. All right, everybody. Have a good night. See you next week. Bye-bye.